A very pleasant good evening to you, ladies and gentlemen. We're greeting you now from the studios of Channel 13. We're most happy to have with us tonight Senator Stennis, and of course gathered with us also, as you saw on your set a moment ago, a group of representatives of the press and the radio from South Mississippi. The members of the press will be asking questions of the senator here this evening. We have several questions, of course, that we feel that we will ask that will be of interest to you folks viewing. I might first of all start it off this evening, if I may, by asking Senator Stennis if he would to explain a little further the operation of the CB base and the announcement today that he made of the fact that the CB base in Gulfport would be reactivated. Senator, would you care to make a few comments about this for us?
Yes, I would, but first, Ray, I want to thank you for the privilege of being here this evening and as the guest of WLOX-TV, and also, it's a privilege to be here with this fine panel. It's wonderful to be in Mississippi, and I feel like I'm meeting now with the whole of South Mississippi. Now, this project was at Gulfport, a CB construction battalion installation in World War II, and it was kept for a while, but now it's being reactivated. Not necessarily to its full capacity, but a substantial part, with at least 2,000 CBs, which is a construction arm for the Navy and the Marine Corps, by summer, and be in training here by early July. And I think there will be maybe 3,000 before the end of the calendar year. They will have a $7 million payroll there, even with just 2,000, and it'll be a very intense program. And I think, and by the way, the CBs is one of the very best organizations in all of our military setups, and I think that there's a good chance that it will be a permanent installation, not only for training, but as a home port for the CB battalions, which means a great deal. Now, that means a lot of families will come in, and it means a lot of civilians, a good many civilians will be employed, although not so many maybe to start with.
Of course, the port facilities at Gulfport, I'm sure, are something that enhances this.
It was a major factor, and they were very much pleased, the Navy was. The Navy was very much pleased with the idea of opening up this base, and the proposed waterway project just west of it will add to a probability of its expansion.
I'm sure that some of the gentlemen here now probably have questions they would like to direct your way, Senator, and if we'll ask, we'll just sort of direct the camera out here over the crowd and let them ask the question, if they may. Anyone? Jim?
Right. Jim Reese. Senator, I wonder, I'm sure you're familiar with our seaway development project here.
Yes.
And our port,
yes,
and the potential tie-in. I wonder if it would be advantageous at all if some sort of canal were established either from the port of Gulfport or from the Gulf of Mexico to the battalion or to the north. In other words, will you be using equipment and material from there very frequently or not? Or is this going to be more of a training base as opposed to a shipping center?
Well, I think they have in mind now a training base, plus the fact that this would be a home port, as they say. It means they would come here at the time they were not on duty abroad, you might say, they'd live here. But they didn't outline to me any present plans for shipping, although they definitely said, the Admiral said this afternoon, that the waterway project westward would be very helpful and enhance the value of the base, probability of it being enlarged. Yes, sir. Very definitely, he was pleased with the idea.
Roy Dottie, I believe you have a question now you wanted to direct
to
the Senator.
Yes, thank you, Ray. And Senator, does this mean that these 2,000 men that you spoke of will be coming from another base? Is there another base being closed as such?
No. They're creating more battalions, just as our Army is creating more units, regiments, and the Air Force, more squadrons. This is a military buildup, but it's particularly to meet construction that has to be had of this kind. You see, they build anything from railroads to highways to airports, build anything. They're the do-it boys of the Navy and for the Marine Corps.
Is there a good bit of this type of construction going on in Vietnam?
Yes, a great deal. and I think there'd be much more.
Thank you, sir.
Bob, I think you have a question you want to direct.
Senator Stennis, you previously stated that in the beginning of this that you didn't wish that we would go into Vietnam at all. But right now, since we're in there and the situation is what it is, what do you recommend? Exactly what do you think we should do now in Vietnam?
Well, you're correct. I made three Senate floor speeches vigorously opposing these steps during the summer of 1954. That was a policy matter. I objected to us going in, not knowing more about it, and we were going in alone. But that has long since passed. It's not a question now why we went, not to go. We're there. We have to start from where we are. And we are not winning. We've stopped losing, but we are not winning. And as it is now, we can't leave there with honor. And we can't be pushed out. We can't afford it. I think the first thing, we've got to make up our minds to win. Now, it's just not a matter of winning that area or winning this particular point. But if we don't win, we've set a precedent that invites more serious trouble in many other spots. I think this is a test that communists are making on us. They bleed us, and I'm fairly familiar with it. I'm just one man's opinion, but I've lived with it for 2 years as chairman of the Preparedness Subcommittee. They're making a test to bleed us as much as they can, as long as they can, and maul us every way they can, whether they can win or not. And as to how we respond will determine whether other wars will be started, I think, in Asia. If we hit them very hard now, there's risk in that, but I think the only way to bring it to a head, to get out honorably, is to push this thing now militarily. I don't mean something rash, but whatever our military men decide to do in a sound offensive, that if that's carried on, a sound offensive carried on for months or 6 months or maybe a year if necessary, that'll get results itself. But we'll be there, and I don't think the American people want a long stalemate, 10, 15 years, you might say. That's the old colonialism system, holding on and holding on and holding on. We're not there for conquest. I think we're barring trouble. I think the only reason it doesn't break out more in South America is because we took that firm stand in Cuba. Let them know we absolutely would not tolerate it. And things have quieted down there. And in Asia, we're in a bad situation there. I don't have any rosy picture.
You care to pursue it further, Bob?
I do have another angle there. If, in other words, you say push the war in Vietnam and go in and win it, even at the risk of possibly starting World War III.
Well, that's a term, starting World War III. Yes, there's some risk that Red China might become involved in a big way. I think the risk is there. That risk had to be weighed, though, before we got as far as we are now. And I think the great chances are they would not come in. Red China would not come in. But I could be mistaken in that. They can come in air power without coming in with their ground forces. If they come in air power, we'd have a problem, but we'd take care of that, I think.
Well, how could we go on and continue to escalate this activity without declaring a state of war?
Well, the Congress is the one that has the power to declare war, and I don't want to waive that and nor set a precedent that we are abandoning it. Although to some degree we are in this case, I agree. But this matter has been going on gradually since 1954, 12 years. Three presidents have been in these decisions, and the Congress for 12 years. We started with these Air Force mechanics, and then we sent in some to do the training, thought maybe that would win. And And then we had to have these helicopters, and we had to arm them, and we had to send in our gunmen on the helicopters. And they commenced getting killed, and we sent more to protect them, and more and more, and now we're at war fully. It's just developed that way, and there are some advantages in not having a formal declaration of war under international law. And I think this is a case where we've gone in the side door, and we're already in it to such an extent that we don't have to formally declare it. We could, that'll bring us complications that I can't go into freely here.
We understand that, Senator. I know you've had your briefings, I'm sure, on your visit to Honolulu on the
Yes, I went to Honolulu. That's where our command, except for General Westmoreland, is. And I got the whole picture there directly from the men who are responsible, and I get it from other sources. It's not impossible for us to declare war, or the Congress could vote to not send any more men and not send any more, to withdraw those that are there. We've got the same power over the thing as we would have if we had declared war.
I think Mr. Dowdy wanted to ask a question here.
Senator, I think this question was asked this afternoon over at the Naval Base. How long will this the families be before they become coming into the Gulfport area, in the Gulf Coast area?
Well, I don't know how many there will be, but I think families will be coming in within 60 to 90 days. Now, most of these men will be young men, the trainees, but people will be coming in to train them, you know, that are already in, and the technical men will be coming, and they'll have families. The trainers will be coming, and the officers, commissioned officers. I think you can expect families from 60 to 90 days right along, although not in great numbers.
Of course, these first that come will be the permanent staff, the people
who
are trained.
Yes, they'll augment the staff and the technicians and a good deal of construction first. But it'll move rather rapidly now. They've made up their minds what they're going to do.
Yes.
And they've got the money to do it with, and it'll just be as fast as they can.
I think Aubrey Felder had a question he wanted to ask you here,
yes,
too,
Aubrey.
Senator, on the Vietnam thing again. Is there any truth, do you think, to the accusations that the military decisions are made in Washington rather than in Vietnam, and made by civilians rather than military men?
Well, yes, in part, that has been the picture, and I think perhaps too much so. But I try to keep always avoid having a military opinion of my own, because That's worse than not letting a military man decide. But on the extent of the bombing, I would have gone much further. But the matter there of making the all-out bombing on North Vietnam is tied in with the very point that's already been mentioned about the provocation there to Red China. That's about as far as I could go on an answer to that. But I think we've got to move in on the oil and more on the shipping, on their military capacity of various kinds, you see. They don't manufacture many arms. We'll have to do that and take the chance that goes with it. Now, the military, they are in on those decisions to a degree. The policy, though, has to be set by the President, and then I think that he and the Secretary of Defense leave it to the military judgment as to how to do certain things.
Senator, this brings a question to mind to me, if I may, and then we'll get back to the group.
Yes.
On the floor. How about the aid that we're receiving, or are we receiving aid from other countries in this Vietnam War, or are we having to carry it the full load ourselves?
Well, you touched us. Tender spot with me on that question. I'll make the general statement that our allies are falling far below what they should, in my opinion. in helping us. And I'll start in Western Europe. Just think what we have done for France. Now, I don't want to provoke any international complications here, but things that I might say. But just think of it, what we've done for France since World War, during and since World War II. And they are not only failing to help us, they are opposing us.
That's right.
West Germany, we snatched them out of the jaws of death. Literally still are. We are there. Been 21 years since the shooting stopped almost. And we are there. We are there in strong forces, and some of the finest men that we have have been there all the time. I mean, we've kept our best there. Now, they could help us some. They'd send some men. It'd pinch them, certainly. It'd involve them, certainly. Well, we've been involved protecting them. We've stood the chance of war repeatedly. And in addition to that, they could stand with us diplomatically. And now England does have a great number of soldiers down in the area below. And they are a great stabilizing force over that too, those British. Navy in there, but they've got the soldiers there on the ground. But I think they ought to send some.
I think you opposed this sweet situation too, didn't you, Senator?
Yes, I did. Now, our Asiatic friends, except for Korea, and I don't want to be too severe on the others because I hope they do something for us yet. But it's very little they've done except Korea, and they're going to send another division, they say, and I think they will. But remember, we've been there 15 years, and we still have two divisions there, and we're paying all the money, and we're glad to get them, though, to pay for coming in. Now, that's about all. The Philippines have sent a few token men, and Australia has sent a few. But State Department has a long list of so-called contributors, but when you get down to the fine print, some of them as low as two men, others five.
That's way down.
So we that's one point I made, gentlemen, when we went in there in 54, said we're going in alone, and if we do get in war, we'll probably have to fight it largely alone. I'm no prophet. I'm just a lawyer and see things as a layman, but it's been quite revealing, and I think that's another thing. It convinced me that we had to fight this thing through, because if we don't, we're going to get the label of these communists who left all their softies, or they can't get any help, then we can start these fires elsewhere. Now, I'm realist enough to say that we can't carry it on all by ourselves all over Asia. We represent only 6% of the population of the world and only 7% of the land area. There's a limit to our manpower, a limit to our resources. So I don't have any idealistic dream about this thing that we can hold every inch, everywhere, alone. We can't. But I feel like the roof will fall in on us unless we stand our ground on this one. And then we'll have a chance to measure this thing, reappraise the situation.
Gentlemen from Pascagoula, I believe, I noticed some of the others that have some questions they want to fire, but we'd like to make it around the
entire group. Yeah, I know. Excuse me. I told
all right.
Senator, are any of our allies or non-communist countries sending supplies into the coast of North Vietnam or around Hanoi?
Well, they are trading with them some, but frankly, I don't know to what extent. I mean, there's a commercial trade. I don't think any arms, though. I think not. But there's some trade going on there, you see, into Hanoi, back and forth. No arms that I know about. I'm very glad to make such a report of it.
I saw Bob just chomping at the bit here to come up with a question a moment ago. So, Bob?
Senator Stennis, it seems that this country's policy has a good deal of contradictions in its general handling. For example, even in the President's State of the Union message just given a short while ago, he said that on one hand, we should fight the communists. Mm. And on the other hand, he wants more trade with Russia.
Yes.
How is this reconcilable? How can we fight the communists and trade with them at the same time? Isn't this a gross contradiction in policy?
Well, communist Russia is supplying some arms and some help now to North Vietnam. But they haven't yet gone all out. They haven't yet lined up with Red China. I think there is a real division among those two. Now, this matter here of some trade, the people that believe that way think that it's worthwhile to take a chance on that with Russia, because Russia is going to be trading with our allies anyway. You see, for years that's been going on. Now, I vote against the wheat deal with Russia, but there's a lot of thought along the line that I've indicated, and there may be a little encouragement. We are hoping very strongly, I mean the USA is, that Russia's not going to put the shoulder to the wheel on this. I think that's about as far as I could go on it.
Senator, let me change the questions just a little bit here and get into a little different area. Of course, we know with Keesler in our city limits here, with Ingalls and Pascagoula, and of course with NASA, with the space development that is going on in our immediate area, does this picture look bright for growth in all three of these areas? Ingalls at Pascagoula, space, the NASA space in Hancock County, and of course Keesler with the training, the Navy base you've already mentioned.
I think it looks very bright, as far as I can see. It certainly does. Now, right here on the coast itself, you have a largely a federal economy here, as you gentlemen know. But the expanding activity and the growth, I think, will continue unless this does become an all-out war and we have to, or have others. But I think, really, we're going to have a big military program a long time, apart from actual shooting. I think we must have. The world is in a highly unsettled state, and I have just said I didn't think we'd defend it everywhere. But to defend ourselves, there are certain vital spots that we must defend. And I think you'll have a lot of activity.
Senator, I notice we have just slightly less than a minute left. I think we have about three questions. Jim?
Mine will be brief. Senator, will this Navy base reactivation employ civilian types as well as...
Oh, yes, yes. Types? They'll employ some civilians, but a little slow. They have a good many out there now. That'll come, though. That'll come, and it'll gradually build up.
Roy, I believe you had a question you wanted
to ask. Yes, is it possible that the facilities would have to be expanded land-wise?
No, I think not. They may request a return of some of the land that they gave up and went to the state, but they have tremendous space out there, and they're very proud of the space they have.
Bob, they're giving us the signal, but quickly.
I'll make it very brief, Senator. As a conservative Democrat, how do you feel about the Republicans making the ground they're making here in Mississippi at the present time?
Well, really, I'm not very familiar with that in the last few months. I think there's a lot of wholesome political thought here in the state. And I like to see honest, sincere concern and activity. I don't know that they made so much headway yet in the elections.
With that, I think we're going to have to wrap it up and thank Senator Stennis very much and you gentlemen for being here this evening for this special interview.
This has been a special news conference with U.S. Senator John C. Stennis of Mississippi, presented as a special news feature through the cooperation of WLOX-TV.